Good evening. Thank you for coming out in this snowy evening. Could we turn in our Bibles to John 3:16 to start? This morning, we heard a solemn message from our brother about some souls that perished. There was this thief on the cross that was saved, and then there was the other one that lost. He perished. The rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was saved, and the rich man was lost. And then the farmer that tore down his barns and built bigger ones. He was lost. But it's not the will of God that any should be lost, that any should perish, but that all should be saved. So let's read in at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've said it before, that word loved is agape. It's God's love, God's level of love. And then Vine puts it this way: to place a value upon. For God so placed a value upon the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you can almost say that God equated the world equal with his Son. He gave his Son for the world. Now whosoever believeth on him should not perish, should not be lost, but have everlasting life. Our brother also jumped around in Luke this morning. He even quoted the first two verses of the chapter I wanted to speak on. He had me terrified. He just wanted to take my message. Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, a publican was a public official, or as we'd say today, a civil servant. He was quite literally a tax collector, a Jew collecting taxes for the Romans, who dominated and ruled over their country. Thus, the publican was hated as a traitor among his people. That's what a publican is. Now, a sinner, in the strict sense, was a lawbreaker, workers of iniquity, ungodly. But often the poor or infirmed were thought of as sinners, because it was thought, if they were in the favor of God, they would be healthy, whole, and prosperous. For if you were not healthy, whole, or prosperous, then it meant you must have the judgment of God against you for some sin. Thus you're a sinner in the self-righteous man's eyes. Pharisees, derived from the verb peresh, meaning to divide or separate, separated ones. They were a very religious sect that evolved over 150 years or more to be revered by the masses as a pious, strict, zealous, and legalistic group to the letter of the law and the traditions and ever-expanding oral laws and regulations that they produced. The scribes took dictation and copied text and scriptures for distribution, who eventually evolved into a professional society that studied, interpreted, and taught the scriptures. They operated much like the law society of our day, acting as lawyers and sometimes even judges. Lawyer is an exact synonym for scribe. They really came into their own during the Maccabees times, acting in the modern New Testament sense as religious scholars and theologians. The Pharisees and the scribes thought it defiling to have dealings with such people as the publicans and the sinners, let alone eat with them socially or to have fellowship with them. So let us continue. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance and with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have, filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare and to perish, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry and would not go in, and therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Psalm 14 tells us that the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. He looks down upon all of us. And what did he see? He sees this sinners that are outside the grace of an almighty God who need to be saved. He saw these publicans and he saw these sinners. He saw these scribes and Pharisees. And the scribes and Pharisees were against the others because they were big on outward appearance. But God looks on the heart, the inner man. Let's read Matthew 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother. he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? The Pharisees were such a powerful force in Israel at the time. They had a hold over the people. They were so revered that it was said that if a sovereign spoke to you and a Pharisee went into prayer, that you could not answer until the Pharisee was done praying. That was the power they had over the people. Let's continue, 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, that they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us the parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These things are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. In Luke 22 it says, the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might kill him, Jesus. In Matthew 12 and 14 it says, and when the Pharisees went out and they held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. In John 5, 18 it says, therefore the Jews sought more to kill him. In the garden the Lord Jesus left his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he went a little further. So let us go a little further. Let's continue reading here in Matthew 20:15-21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. The dogs are Gentiles. Then she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So the Lord was going to bring in the Gentiles as well as the Jews. That was the whole purpose of him coming. In John 10:16 it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one whole fold and one shepherd. In Isaiah, it tells us that we like sheep have gone astray, and each one has turned to his own way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here we have in this parable a shepherd coming. Now the shepherd is the Lord Jesus. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd, is coming to look for his sheep. And the sheep is lost. Now, we used to have sheep live beside us on our farm for about 2 years. Sheep have funny characteristics. They really have no sense of direction. They're a finicky little animal, afraid of any noise that goes on. They come up to a fence and they just walk through it. All the wool would protect them from the barbed wire. And when you tried to drive them back through the gate, they did not drive very well. They couldn't herd them like you could cows and horses. So anyway, this sheep is lost. The sheep is running away. And the good shepherd goes out to find this one lost sheep. One. Doesn't have to be a bunch. He's just looking for one. One at a time. And when he finds that sheep, he brings it back. It has value. Value to the shepherd. We think of David. David was a shepherd of the sheep. And he fought a lion and killed it. He fought a bear and killed it. He put his life on the line for the sheep. He had value. There was value in those sheep. Remember, God so loved the world. He so placed a value upon each and every one of us. So he brings back the sheep, and he calls his friends and neighbors, and they all have a celebration because he is so happy. And we know that there is rejoicing in heaven and in earth over the repentance of one lost soul. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There was a story I read one time about a Christian. He was in the Holy Land, and he was sitting at one of these watering holes where they would bring in sheep. Three different herds of sheep came in, and they all intermingled. They're drinking the water, and they intermingled. And he thought, how are they ever going to get their sheep back out? All of a sudden, when they were done drinking, one shepherd spoke a voice, and the sheep come out. Every which way, there was different sheep come out. And he took a look over them, and he led them off. So then another shepherd spoke up, and the sheep came out from the last group. And he looked over them and saw his own sheep, and he led them out. So the Christian went to the last shepherd, and he said, do they only listen to you? Do your sheep only listen to your own voice? And he said, try it. So the Christian spoke. Nothing. So then the shepherd spoke, and he led them out. The sheep will hear my voice, and I know them. Now we come to the woman and her 10 pieces of silver, and she's lost one piece. Now it has value, same as the sheep. It has value. It's worth some money, for that's what it is. But it's an inanimate object. It has no feet, no legs, no understanding. There is none that seeketh after God, God says. We do not move towards God. We can't do it on our own. So what does this woman do? She has a candle. She has a light. We know that the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And if we turn to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Spirit uses the candle to illuminate with the Word. The Spirit always points to Christ, always uplifts Jesus, the light of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Jesus is the light of the world, and the Holy Spirit points to him. Now, there are 10 pieces of silver, and in the custom of the day, they used to give a dowry when a man came seeking a bride. And they would take those 10 pieces of coin, and they would make a circlet for a head covering. And this was like a down payment, a pledge. And if we turn to Ephesians, a pledge that the groom was coming again to get his bride. Ephesians 1 and 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now, a few weeks ago, there was a young lady here got engaged. She got a pledge, an engagement ring, if you will. There's a promise that the groom is going to come back for her. He left here a little bit ago, but he's supposed to come back for her. It's the same idea with the Spirit. The Spirit seals us until that day of redemption. Christ is coming again. He's coming for us again. When I think of the woman sweeping, I think of the broom going, I think of the wind it creates, and anybody who's ever swept, I've done a little of it myself, but sometimes there would be little dust wool or bunnies or whatever you want to call them floating around. You can see them breezing around. Sometimes you might find a loony or a toony, and it's great to find some money, isn't it? Well, this woman was sweeping, and it makes me think of the wind blowing around of John 3, in John 3 when it's talking about the Spirit. Let me go there. I can't quote it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, thee, ye must be born again. For the wind bloweth. The wind bloweth where it listeth, or where it wills. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we have the shepherd searching. We have the Spirit searching. So there is value in us. And so she finds her coin, and it goes back with the headset. Now, there was value in that coin in and of itself. She could have spent it. There was value of it. But when it was placed with the other nine, she had her pledge back. She had her engagement ring back, and there was a whole lot more intrinsic value in it than if she had just spent it by itself. So the Lord is coming back for his bride. He has a value in us, and again, there was joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. But you have to have the word. You have to have the light of the glorious gospel to be made alive and quickened. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth me. And he divided unto him his living. And of course, the younger son gathered all and went into a far country. Now we read later that there are swine, that he falls in and has to feed the swine. So a far country, he could have gone across the Galilee to the east side, maybe the country of the Gadarenes where Legion had been, that demonic man where the Lord cast out the demons and put them into the swine, and they went over the cliff and fell into the water. Jews did not like swine. So therefore, there could have been a lot of Gentiles living there. When you think of these two sons, and the thought of Jesus going a little further and bringing in the Gentiles, I can't help but think that that prodigal son is a Gentile. We could call him Gentile. We could call the other brother. There was a movie out, it was called The Boleyn Sisters. Anyway, this is another brother. The Boleyn girls, you always hear about Anne, but very little about her sister. We hear very little often about this brother that stayed behind with the father. But let's call him Jew. Because God looks on the peoples of the world as two people groups, his chosen people and the Gentiles. Now, this prodigal son wasted his substance in riotous living. The father worked his whole lifetime, building up his farm, whatever, creating wealth, going to divvy it up to his sons. The older son usually gets the double portion, and this is the younger son. And off he goes into another country. Wastes his living in riotous living. His substance, gone. A mighty famine arose. His friends all gone. So he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country to feed swine, which was repugnant to the Jews. And he was so hungry he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. But no man gave unto him. No man cared about him. It's funny, when your money's all gone, your friends are all gone. I found that out in my own life. And when he came to himself, he repented. He repented of the situation he was in. He repented against his father, because he had left his father. He had left his father's house. But he remembered it. He says, how many servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Having repented, he thought, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose. He did something about it. This fellow had legs. We saw a sheep. We saw a coin. But now we see a person. More value. God places more value on people than he does on sheep. He places more value on people than he does a coin. And he came to the Father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father was looking for him. The father never left home, but the father was looking for him. Every morning he'd get up, he'd gaze down the road. He'd come in to lunch, and he'd gaze down the road, looking for that son. Every evening he'd sit on the front porch and look down that road. Where is my son? Finally, he saw him. He had compassion. Compassion. What a wonderful word, compassion. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We need a shepherd. Jesus had compassion. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Didn't wait for him to come to him. At this point, he saw he was moving towards him. And the father ran to the son and fell on his neck in all the swine dirt, the smell. I hated shipping days, shipping pigs. Oh, you'd go to school and the smell was on you and you'd think the girls were going to smell you. Oh, it was terrible. You'd put on as much perfumes as you could, you smelled like a girl. Oh, dear, I remember that. So he fell on his neck. Surely some of that stuff even rubbed off on the father. But he kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned. Confession. I have sinned. Against heaven and in thy sight. God's looking down. He's looking down from heaven. And he sees each one of us. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. We know that in this situation, the son took his inheritance and left. But I read an article one time. It's a booklet called The Pharisee in Me. Powerful. I loaned it to somebody and never got it back. But anyway, I just remember there was a Pharisee in me from reading it. I could see it. Sometimes we get legalistic. Sometimes we get tough on our kids. It says, don't drive your children to wrath. That doesn't mean anger. That means drive them towards the wrath of God. They don't want anything to do with you or your God. We have to be careful how we are with our kids. We don't want to be Pharisees. It's a good lesson to learn not to be a Pharisee. So this son repented, and he came back, and he brought forth the fatted calf, and he killed it. Speaks of sacrifice, blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And they made merry. He put on the best robe. He dressed him, clothed him in righteousness, if you will. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand. Prominence, position of prominence back in the family. And shoes on his feet. Maybe he was barefooted, but he put shoes on his feet. So anyway, they're having a merry time. And the son that had stayed with him, he comes in from the fields. The elder son, the one who's getting a double portion, he's got twice as much as the other guy. He drew an eye on the house and he heard the music and the dancing. And then he called one of the servants and he asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. What did he do? He became angry. He would not go in. Wasn't this a Jew's problem? They would not come in. They were bid to come and they would not come. Christ cried over Jerusalem. He said, How often I would have gathered you as a hen or chicks, but you would not. It would not come. He stands and he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavily laden. Come. But they would not. But many of the Gentiles were turning. They were coming. So he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore, the father came out to the son and entreated him. Jesus said, I and my father are one. He sent the Lord Jesus as his own representative to entreat them to come. And he answering said to the father, Lo, these many years I serve thee, or I've been with thee. They were known as God's people. They were with him. And the Pharisees were of the kind that they said, We would transgressed not the law at any time, neither thy commandments. And yet thou never gavest us a kid which we might make merry with our friends. They were legalistic, but God looketh on the heart. And remember, they sought to kill the Lord Jesus. All Judaism sought to kill the Lord Jesus. And we know that they did. But as soon as this thy son was come, this one who was a sinner, the ones they looked upon as sinners, the ones they despised, the ones they would not rub up against, in case something might rub off on them and defile them. But remember, the father ran to him, even though he was clothed in swine manure or whatever, and their odor and that sort of thing. But what did the Father say? He says, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that the Father had left was his. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was dead. The Father looked upon it as receiving him back from the dead. And when we're born again, we are received back from the dead. For we were dead in trespasses and sins, lost in this world, without hope. But God moved. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. He sent a good shepherd into this world to die for us. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He laid down his life. So therefore it was meet, the Father says, that we should make merry. For I have received my Son from the dead. There is rejoicing in heaven over every soul that repenteth and turneth to God. So he was lost and is found. Wonderful. Wonderful thing to be found, is it? Isn't it? Do we rejoice in that? That we are found? I remember I was up at my mother's one time. And we're having a little chat. And she said, why is it always the alcoholics and the drug addicts that get saved? We can see that this evening. It's because they finally realize, I'm a sinner. Christ came to save sinners. He came to save that which is lost and call you and I who are lost to repentance. He came not to save those who are self-righteous. He came to save sinners, those who will admit that they need help, those who are poor in spirit, destitute, without hope, without resource. The Father had the resources. That's why the Son came back. He knew who had the resources. He knew where to go. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit holds up the light of the gospel to tell us where to go. And if we would bow the knee to Christ when he says, come and come, we would flee back. We would have fellowship restored with the Father. We would be born again and be his Son. Joint heirs with Christ. He's willing to share. That Son here, he wasn't willing to share. He wanted to keep it all. He didn't want the fatted calf, just one calf given to this other son, who's his brother. His brother. How cold we can become. The love and kindness of God leadeth to repentance. I was at a gospel meeting one time, which kind of, I guess, was really a testimony meeting. Peter Orzak, who used to be a gospel preacher at Gospel Hall, he died here a few years ago, was building his house, and he had two guys down from London, Ontario, helping him. I happened to be out there that day, so they invited me to go. That evening, the two men gave their testimonies, both raised in Christian homes. Good, clean living guys up until a certain point in their life when one of them went off to university. He became a prodigal. Away from home, in the far country. Fell into drink. Fell into other sins. Did poorly in his studies. I don't know if he was kicked out. Can't remember if he was kicked out of university or not, but he did very poorly. The other fella, clean cut, Christian, living in a Christian family, never left home. Here they were giving their testimonies. The one who went off to university was a prodigal, if you will. But he came to himself, repented of his sin, and got saved. But this other brother was giving his testimony, lived a clean cut life, stayed close to home like this brother. Like this son here who stayed with the Father. But his attitude was different. He realized he was a sinner too. Even though he lived a clean life, he was still outside of salvation. He knew he was a sinner. He knew that he owned Adam's sin. So anyway, he repented as well, come to the understanding that he had to be saved. So he had two sons here, one with an attitude of, I don't care about my brother. I only care about the things that are going to befall me. And here you had two other brothers giving their testimony, and they both came to the same conclusion, that they were both sinners. One lived a good life, one lived a bad life, if you will. We all need to be saved. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here this evening we have value placed on us. The sun searching for the sheep that are running away. The spirit searching as well, looking for the value that's in us. And the father's searching, but he doesn't leave where he is. He's still in heaven, and he's still looking. Just going to read some verses from Psalm 14. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's what these two men that gave their testimony realized. Even though one was more of a prodigal and the other was a clean-cut guy, they realized that there was no good in them. None. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? It says, Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Let us pray. Father, we come before thee this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus, so pleased and happy that we can call thee Father. What a wonderful thing to know the love of God, that the Son, the Spirit, and the Father searched us out. The Son seeketh, the Spirit sweepeth, and the Father searches the horizons, looking for lost souls to come home. Father, we thank thee for that blood, that cleansing blood that cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful thing. We just pray for others. We think of our families, yet outside the grace of God. We just pray that thou would draw them to thyself. Thou knowest each need in here, not only for the lost, but for the Christians. Father, help us as we walk through this life. May we know the leading of the chief shepherd. May we know thy grace upon our lives. May we know the scriptures. May we read them. May we realize what we should be doing, guided by the light of the Spirit. And Father, just illuminate our minds and our souls unto thee. We just thank thee now for thy Son and thy many blessings, and ask thy grace upon us as we part this evening. Amen. Could we sing a hymn in leaving here this evening?